Pastor Steve, is the Messiah coming?
Yeah, with a flaming sword to exact vengeance on those who don't know Elohim.
Amen, amen.
And that term crispy critter comes to mind.
Right. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Or as we used to say, absolutely, positively. No getting around that. Okay, hi, Becky. Becky with three K's, B-E-K-K-K-Y.
And, Rebecca.
Good evening. And today, well, of course, welcome to Yahweh's Covenant People. This is July 22nd, 2016. And the subject for tonight's show is going to be the downfall of the Amalekites. Okay. Well, but now, first of all, I think the article tries to address the question of identifying who the Hyksos were, and a lot of opinions have been offered. Some have stated that the Hyksos, H-Y-K-S-O-S, were Hebrews because they were the shepherd people or the shepherd kings. All right, but my information states that one of the things that the Hyksos people did was that they impersonated the Egyptians, which is something that the Hebrews never did. Only Jews and proto-Jews would have impersonated somebody else in order to take power. What's your opinion on that, Pastor Steve?
They have been traced to a branch of the Hittites.
Yes, okay.
And they were shepherds.
Yes.
And they got a lot of that with Esau, Edom, and he was spread all through that. And they had mixed with other Canaanite tribes in that area by the time preceding Moshe. Now, It says clearly in Exodus, it does not say, as it does in the King James Version, a new king arose over Israel. It's a new king arose against
Israel. Right.
And they are against Mitzrayim. Pardon me, I had that wrong. Against Mitzrayim, Egypt. And they conquered Egypt. They were known, Compere did an extensive study on that.
Okay.
They were known for their duck-billed battle axes, which is a round axe instead of a square front, that inflicted grievous wounds. They were almost always fatal if you got hit with one of those, because they would just penetrate. Penetrating power of that axe was terrible.
Right.
But they were the enemies of Israel in those days because they were descendants from the Hittites who had mingled with Esau and the other Canaanite tribes, and at that period of time, that late in history, they had mingled with the seed of Canaan.
Right.
When they were heavily mingled with the Cainy, and they had the satanic bloodline, and they did not know Yosef, which the Mitzrayim thought so much of.
Right, and that would make sense, because we do know that the Egyptians had made several pacts with the Hittites in cases. I think the Pharaoh of Egypt during the Israelite expulsion or Israelite exodus was actually a half Hittite. Okay.
Well, the first Pharaoh that wanted the first Hyksos Pharaoh that wanted Moshe dead because he smote the Egyptian.
Right.
Had died, and this was a subsequent Pharaoh.
Ah, okay.
And they were all mingled and mixed. And of course, if they were dealing with Israel, and if they were Hittites mingled with all these others and had the satanic seed line, of course they were going to hate the seed of the woman,
right?
As it says in Revelations, mm-hmm. which is pure-blooded Israel.
Right.
They could not revere Yosef, who bailed Mitzrayim and the true Hamite Egyptians.
Right.
Out of all that trouble, he was revered.
Okay.
He was just thought so much, and his bones were still there.
Right.
And when Jacob Israel died, all of Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, went
right.
to his funeral. It was a great mourning. And all the Canaanites in the area, including the children of Heth, whose ground he was buried on, he bought that field
right.
and the cave of Machpelah from the children of Heth.
Right.
Which is father of the Hittites.
Uh-huh, that's right.
They didn't remember Yosef because they weren't really Mitzrayim. They were Hyksos conquerors who assumed the title of Pharaoh, just
right.
like the Jews are trying to assume the title of Israel today.
Amen.
Lies, lies, and more lies.
Impersonators. Again,
impersonators.
The only people, right, the only ethnic group that I'm aware of that routinely impersonates other ethnic groups is the Jews and their predecessors. In this case, it would be the Hyksos.
Well,
right?
They were all, and they just, all these Canaanites just got together in one big racial soup at that
right,
point.
Right, exactly.
At the Amalek, which is spelled with a Q on the end, not a K.
All right.
And it says here in Brown Driver Briggs Gesenius Hebrew Lexicon, they were fierce and warlike Bedouin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which the desert tribes, and that was the first example of those that called themselves Amalek, and they were
okay.
in the Negev, which is the southern desert region south of Jerusalem, which would eventually become the possession of the tribe of Yehuda.
Okay.
And Binyamin.
Now, hold on one second. Now, are these Amalek, these Bedouins, are these related to the Canaanites, or are these before the Canaanites?
These, they're south of the land of Canaan in
okay.
Negev. And
okay.
the ones, and they evidently had migrated north.
Okay.
And assimilated all these others and kept the name Amalek.
Okay.
And they later, and one of the sons was named Amalek
of Esau.
Lud, the son of Lud, was named Amalek.
I see. Okay. Okay.
And,
so this is totally different from Esau's progeny, Amalek. So
he was the grandson of Esau. Also was named Amalek.
Right. But the Amaleks we're talking about now are not the descendants of Esau. These people are different.
There were multiple people that were called Amalek, and they would name their children.
Okay.
There are five people named Jehoshaphat
uh-huh.
in the Bible. Five
okay.
of them, not just one.
Right.
I mean, they just named their kids
after other people. Yeah, exactly like we do today.
Well, there were several
right.
people called Amalek.
Yeah. All right.
I
okay,
read
well,
that website the other day, and his timeline is wrong.
Okay.
He's wrong about the Hyksos.
All right, well, let's read through this, and we'll see if we can identify for the listening audience who the Hyksos really are. But first he starts out by talking about the Amalekites of the Bible. The Egyptian king list, actually, this is Hope of Israel with dashes.org. And I'll post this, or maybe Pastor Steve, you can post the URL in the chat room while I'm reading here. The Egyptian king lists at Abydos in Upper Egypt completely ignore a period of almost 500 years and a jump from King Amenemhat IV of the 12th dynasty to King Ahamas of the 18th. Why? What occurred during this period of darkness that the Egyptians refused to record? Read about the inscriptions on the El Arish stone and the traditions recorded by the Islamic historians, and how a devastated Egypt was invaded without a fight by armies from the east. Okay, and that would explain why Egypt was so evilly overcome by these impersonators. And the question is, why would somebody who came into Egypt assume the identity of the Egyptians, as opposed to just saying, "Oh, here we are, we're the Hyksos, we're taking over"? Why would they do that? Why would they start impersonating Egyptians and pretending to all comers that they were Egyptians when they were not?
Well, they wanted to assume the credit for the magnificent civilization that was in Egypt.
Ah, there you go.
Like Jews follow us around.
That's right.
From country to country, and whenever we get settled and really start to prosper, and they come. When there's enough here to steal, then they sure show up.
Yes, yes.
Now they follow along in our dust. They eat the dust of true Israel, like the serpent was supposed to eat dust. Yes. They eat our dust and then consume our substance.
Yes.
Now, following along behind us.
Right. Now, this is by John D. Kaiser, and I would have to categorize Hope of Israel as a British Israel-type ministry. They're not Christian Identity. They're definitely not Two Seed Line. And I'm not sure how Jew-savvy they are, but some of their research is really outstanding. And
it's good. Yeah. Some of it's bad.
Some
when
it's
they
good.
Use the name Jehovah, that's a red flag thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, like, the seventh, the Jehovah's Witnesses and others, right, pronounce it that way. All right. So, origins of Amalek. The Bible Dictionary Insight on the Scripture states that Amalek was a son of Esau's firstborn Eliphaz by his concubine Timnah. Amalek, a grandson of Esau, was one of the sheiks of Edom. Amalek's name also designated his tribal descendants, namely the Amalekites. While it is true Amalek's name designated his tribal descendants, there is a belief that Amalek dates back to beyond the time of, I think they mean before the time of Esau. And this is backed up by the account of Chedorlaomer and the kings in Genesis 14. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim and Ashtaroth-Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shava Kiriathim, and the Horites in their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Just about every single one of these names that he mentions here are of fallen angels. Rephaim, Zuzim, Emim, Horites. Okay, so we're talking about, we have to be talking about the existence of the fallen angels in Canaan land. All right, let's try to figure out what time period this is happening. Then they turned back and came to En-Mishpah, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the countries of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. When Balaam took up his oracle and looked on Amalek, he said, "Amalek was the first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes." When the children of Israel met the Amalekites at Rephidim, there's that Rephaim, the Amalekites were already first among the nations of Arabia and were destined to go on to even greater prominence, but they were ultimately really wiped out.
Yeah, and Rephidim is not the same as Rephaim.
Okay.
It's a different meaning.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, now it's interesting here. According to Emmanuel Velikovsky, the Amalekites ruled in Mecca. I wonder if it has something to do with why Islam was founded there. And from their central position on the great peninsula of Arabia, dominated other Arabian tribes. All parts of Arabia Felix, Arabia Petraea, and Arabia Deserta alike were within the reach of their bows, from his book, Ages in Chaos. So in other words, these Amalekites, from what he's saying here, are these the pre-Edomite Amalekites that he's talking about here?
There were okay. The Bedouin tribes. They were from the east, okay?
Yes, okay.
The east is Kedem. That's in Hebrew, it's Kedem.
Oh, okay.
children of the East. There were all sorts of troubles that came out of that area because they had started interbreeding early on.
Okay.
And these were Bedouins. Well, the Bedouins still exist today, and look at what they are. They're
Right.
dark, swarthy
Yes.
people. They are Arab, the dusky ones.
Right. Okay.
And they didn't used to be that way.
Yes, of
Trying
course.
to be the children of Ham were Adamic during Yosef's time. He
Yes.
married the daughter of a priest of On. She was pure Adamic seed line. Yahweh wouldn't have had it any other way. He
Sure.
was anointed by Yahweh as a type of Christ to save Israel at that time, to prepare them for the years of oppression and then the eventual exodus from Mitzrayim and the destruction of the Hyksos Pharaoh and his army. And when that army was destroyed, it left that land open to invasion, as it
Right.
says on that website.
Yes, and that's correct. Well, he says, the flight of the Amalekites. When the land of Egypt was convulsed by the plagues of Jehovah, here he does, well, he has Jehovah instead of Yahweh. Similar judgments fell upon neighboring civilizations, including that of Arabia. Masudi, an Arab historian who died about 956 AD, relates the tradition of a tremendous catastrophe that struck the Amalekites and tells of swift clouds, ants, and other signs of the Lord's rage. So they were probably seeing what was going on in the area, and some of it was happening to them. When many perished in Mecca, evidently a turbulent torrent of water overwhelmed the land of Johina, and the whole population drowned in a single night. The scene of this catastrophe was known by the name of Edom, Fury. And Omeya, it's interesting, Edom in the Arabic and Edom in the Hebrew. Are we talking about Esau's fury here? Why would the word Edom in Arabic mean fury? Very interesting. And
It also
Omeya,
means red fury. Edom is red.
yes. And then he says, the Amalekites were put to flight by these plagues that fell upon them in Arabia. And in their escape, they followed swift clouds. Meanwhile, Mecca was destroyed in a single night amidst a terrible noise, and the land became a desert. Historian Masudi relates this disaster. From El Hajjum up to Safa, all became desert. So it wasn't desert at one time. In Mecca, the nights are silent, no voice of pleasant talk. We dwelt there, but in a most tumultuous night, in the most terrible of devastations, we were destroyed. Maybe that's when that meteor that the Muslims worship at Mecca, maybe that meteor destroyed Mecca. That'd be
Well,
very interesting.
look at the condition of the country of Egypt now.
Yes.
It was not always that way. It was not all sand dunes and all that stuff.
Right.
They had farmlands, they had crops, they had livestock, especially in the land of Goshen, which is in the south, was the most fertile down in the Nile Delta.
Right.
They had all that wonderful topsoil from the floods.
Right.
And
Of the
that's why
Nile.
river bottom land is so fertile and so coveted here in this country, because it
Yes.
is some of the most fertile. Well, the racial demographics of the area have changed as well. They are not the Hamite, white Adamite people that they were during the time of Yosef. Later on, they started to mix,
Right.
and now you see what they've got over there. And when Islam took hold over there, Islam is a race-mixing religion.
It sure is. Yes.
And
Yes.
you look at
Just
all
like
these
Judaism.
books, they are all a big bunch of mutts.
That's right.
There's no
That's
pure
good.
bloods against them. They are not Ishmaelites.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Ishmael was Adamic.
Yes, it was. Yes. Descendants of Abraham.
Hagar was Adamic.
That's right.
No more. All that's gone.
It's all gone. Right.
Used to be Adamic. Now look what it is. It's becoming a racial soup because of the forced integration and importation of mud people by the Jews.
Yes.
Who are mixed race people themselves. They have no distinct race. They're a racial suit.
Yeah. Let me quote again from Ages and Chaos from Velikovsky. This succession of phenomena, all these various catastrophes, helps us to recognize that they occurred at the time of the Israelites' escape from Egypt, also visited by plagues. They, the Israelites, also witnessed the destructive flood at the Sea of Passage at Pi Hahiroth shortly before they met the Amalekites. Now, the Israelites met the fleeing Amalekites for the first time a few days after they had crossed the Gulf of Aqaba into the land of Midian. Notice now what happened to the Amalekites after being defeated by the Israelites at Rephidim. They left Arabia after a series of plagues and immediately after a violent earthquake. Many of them perished during the migration and a subtle flood that swept the land of Arabia. They cited the Israelites coming out of Egypt, which was laid in ruins by the great catastrophe. In this catastrophe, the water in the river turned red as blood, the earth shook, the sea rose in a sudden tidal wave. The invaders from Arabia occupied the south of Palestine, which is where they traditionally know is where, you know, it's the land of Edom, right? And the Amalekites would have been descendants of Esau.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Arab historian Masudi picks up the story. When this conqueror, Al-Walid, son of Duma, came to Syria and southern Palestine, he heard rumors about Egypt. He sent there one of his servants named Una, O-U-N-A, with a great host of warriors. Al-Walid suppressed the inhabitants, seized their possessions, and drew forth all the treasures he could find. Okay. Elsewhere in his work, Masudi states, an Amalekite king, Al-Walid, son of Duma, arrived from Syria, invaded Egypt, conquered it, seized the throne, and occupied it without opposition his life long. I think this is what qualifies as the Hyksos, otherwise known as the Shepherd Kings, more so than the Israelites. And if the timing here is correct, this means it can't be Israel, as many authors have stated, because the Israelites had just left Egypt when the Hyksos just shortly thereafter took power. Over to you.
Well, they were shepherd kings because they could not farm.
There you go.
that seed line of Canaan and mixed with the seed of Cain, who was banished from the land, the red Adama, the soil, he could not farm. They cannot farm today in Israel.
That's right.
They hire that done. They own the land, but
yes,
they don't physically do the farming.
That's
same
right.
way in the United States, they own these giant mega corporations for these mega mega grain operations with all their genetically modified poison. But they don't physically go out in a tractor and plow. They don't physically plant.
No, they don't do that. No.
They don't spray the crops with their toxic chemicals.
They don't plant seed.
They don't harvest them.
No. Right. The Jews don't plant seed. They're not farmers in any way.
They are mixed with any one drop of bloodline from Cain. You're cursed.
That's right.
Cursed.
The ground is cursed. It will not provide food for Jews. It just won't. And that's going all the way back to the curse of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. I agree 100%. Okay. Now, the article continues, these invaders from Arabia that had moved into Egypt after the Israelites had left, had occupied Syria and the south of Palestine, and simultaneously moved toward Egypt. They conquered Egypt without meeting resistance. Okay, now, Pastor Steve, why would they not meet any resistance?
Well, the major part of the army, now see, he has his timeline wrong.
Okay.
The Hyksos invasion did not occur after the Exodus. They had conquered, but after a period of time, the land had been going downhill.
Okay.
And the pharaohs were not prospering. They had illness. They had early deaths, child deaths.
Okay.
Pharaoh would be 12 years old, and he lived to be 14, and that was it.
Hmm.
They had ongoing problems, and they saw easy prey. Now, these were very, very fierce people. The Hyksos were terrible warriors. They were just all fearsome.
Yeah, sounds like Amalekites to me.
And they took a little piece at a time and bit off a little chunk here and bit off a little chunk there. And then they finally conquered all of Mitzrayim, and they had exhausted all of their resources, just like what's happening to us with these never-ending wars. Our resources are being exhausted, especially our young men and women who have been sacrificed for these Jewish ongoing wars. We're running out of young men and women, and they're taking the best of our best and leaving the rest. And we're in trouble. Our youth is being spent to make them money. Mm-hmm. Well, they found easy prey in Mitzrayim, and they came in, and they were terribly fierce, just like Rome deteriorated, and the Visigoths came and sacked Rome, and they were Christians, and they busted up all the pagan statues. That's why all the Roman statues are all, but the faces are all defaced. They hacked them.
Right.
They didn't want these pagan idols, so they just beat them with hammers and axes.
Right.
And that's what happened in Rome. Well, Rome was the mightiest in the world, and it went down, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Egypt was the mightiest in the world at one time, and it went down. And look what it is today. It's pathetic.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, what time period are you talking about here? Is this before the Exodus?
Yes, it is. They conquered, if you read Compare, they conquered before, and that's why they were so cruel to the Israelites.
Right. Oh, okay.
They were afraid of them, and later on, after the Exodus, when their armies were so devastated, Egypt was reconquered by other people.
Okay, let's go through the timeline from Joseph, because Joseph's found
hundreds of years.
Right.
Later.
Right. Joseph found favor in the eyes of Pharaoh, who was a Hamite and was therefore an Aryan Adamite. Okay.
Young Pharaoh. Very young. That's why he said, "I am as a father to Pharaoh."
But what we're told in the scriptures is that one day a pharaoh took the throne who did not know Joseph, and this was the pharaoh.
King arose against
Egypt,
over Egypt, against Egypt.
Against Egypt, okay. Was this pharaoh a Hittite?
He was a Hyksos.
Hyksos.
He was one of the Hyksos conquerors, and the Hyksos were mingled with Hittites. They were a racial soup also.
I see. Because they also talk about the Amu in the Egyptian records, which sounds to me very much like Amorite, right? So we're talking about Hittites, Amorites, these Canaanite people, who suddenly took power in Egypt after Joseph, sometime after Joseph.
400 years later, the distinct tribal lines of these distinct Canaanite tribes were very, very, very blurred and intermingled.
Okay.
Because they bred together, and that's how the seed of Canaan spread through all of them.
Right.
Through this intermingling, they were no longer distinct people. They maybe kept a tribal name, but they were the Amorites were mingled. Oh, they married a couple of Jebusite women here and some Girgashites and some of the other ites over there, the Perizzites. There with us today. We still have the Perizzites.
Yeah, they're all the descendants of those other ites.
The seed of Cain spread all through those, so they all had the satanic seed line as well as the curse from Canaan, which followed them because he was a child of incest. Same way Moab and Ammon were child of incest, and they were cursed seed, and they became pagan nations as The others were all pagan nations, and that's why Yahweh wanted them destroyed, because they were worshipers of Molech and just all these other little false G gods, and child sacrifice and sex orgies and
right.
Saturn worship. Which comes from Sa'ir. That's why I say you will no longer sacrifice to goat demons. Well, that's Sa'ir, which is related, and it became Satyr in the English language.
Yes.
And they also had the Roman god Saturn. They worshipped the planet Saturn, and they confused those two.
Yes.
But they were worshipping these goat demons and sacrificing to them. And I'm going to be getting into that in Exodus and some of the others, where they released the goat to Azazel, the desert demon whom all sin was repeated to.
Yeah.
It's just complicated. You just can't take one little passage and base a doctrine on that. You have to take it all.
Okay, so what you're saying is that Velikovsky has the time line wrong. The Hyksos were there before the Exodus.
Yes, and they were.
Okay. And were the most likely the Pharaoh was a Hyksos / Hittite who enslaved the Israelites.
And he assumed the title of Pharaoh.
Yeah, assumed it. Yes.
So they are assuming the title of Israel today, and they are not. They're
of course. Right. So, but in any case, in both the case of Velikovsky and what we're saying here, a foreign, non-Hebrew, non-Mitzrayim people took over Egypt, and they assumed the identity of Egypt.
They became the ruling class for a couple of hundred years in that country.
Right.
Until they were finally defeated and destroyed.
Yes. Okay.
They took power right before Moshe's time. Their first pharaoh died. The second pharaoh was the one that really oppressed Israel so badly.
Yes.
And his whole army was destroyed.
Yes.
Well, all of this took time, period.
Right. Well, now this pharaoh would have known that he was of Hittite / Amorite ancestry. But he would have hidden that fact from the Israelites, would he not? Because
he didn't answer to the Israelites at all, didn't talk to them. They were slaves.
Okay.
He didn't have to hide anything. He was in charge of, if you looked at him wrong, he had you killed.
Right, right. Okay, which sounds like a Rothschild to me. All right. So he quotes Josephus, the first century A.D., Judahite historian, not Jewish historian, records the words of Manetho, who wrote several books on the history of Egypt. Quote, "There was a king of ours," and I think Manetho is incorrect. He doesn't realize that these Hyksos had taken over the kingdom and were not Mitzrayim at all. They were not Egyptians. They were not Hamites. Anyway, he starts out by calling them a king of ours, whose name was Timaeus. This sounds to me like an Edomite name. But let me continue. "Under him it came to pass, I know not how, that God was averse to us, and there came after a surprising manner men of ignoble birth out of the eastern parts, and had boldness enough to make an expedition into our country, and with ease subdued it by force, yet without hazarding a battle with them. So when they had gotten those that governed us under their power, they afterwards burnt down our cities and demolished the temples of the gods and used all the inhabitants after a most barbarous manner. Nay, some they slew and led their children and their wives into slavery." Sounds like Jews to me. "At length they made one of themselves king, whose name was Salatus. And as he found in the Seit, Nomos, Sethroit, a city very proper for his purpose, and which lay upon the Bubastic channel of the Nile, but with regard to a certain theologic notion was called avarice." Avarice, very interesting. The Jews are known for their avarice or greed. This he rebuilt and made very strong by the walls he built about it, and by a most numerous garrison of 240,000 armed men, whom he put to keep it. This whole nation was styled Hyksos, that is, shepherd kings, but some say that these people, the Hyksos, were Arabians. These people, whom we have before named kings and called shepherds also, and their descendants, kept possession of Egypt, he says, 511 years. Okay, your comment on this quotation.
That's exactly what happened, and it dwindled. And after the main army was destroyed, they became weaker and weaker and weaker, and they just degenerated, and eventually there was a series of conquerors, not just one. They'd get conquered, and then they'd fade away, and then they'd get conquered again. And that whole area in there has been in turmoil. The days of the mighty pharaohs and the big construction projects and the wonderful cities and everything, a lot of that stuff is underneath the desert sands now.
Right. Yes.
They're covered up and hidden, and they're forbidden to dig for them because it might reveal some truth that they don't want. No.
Yeah.
Right. Same way they're bulldozing sites in Israeli to hide the fact that the Israelites were actually white people, and the people that are posing over there, the mixed breed Mamzers, are not. So history belongs to the victors.
Yes.
They've got the land, they bought it, they bought and paid for it with our white politicians who sold their soul to the children of the devil. And now they're bulldozing things, trying to hide everything. But when Yahshua Messiah returns with his flaming sword, all truth will be revealed.
Amen. It's being revealed right now.
We're doing a lot of it right
here. That's right. We got to keep talking.
Amen and amen.
Right. How do you know we're telling the truth, folks? Our lips are moving. All right.
Yes, look it up. We document.
Yeah, don't take our word for it.
Right. I give you chapter, verse, and Strong's numbers.
Right.
And that's the only way to do it.
Okay. Now he quotes A History of Egypt Under the Pharaohs by Henry Brooks. Henry Brooks Bay. And he says, an ancient tradition which has been preserved by several Arabian historians of the Middle Ages further proves the Arab origin of Manetho's hated Hyksos kings. Now, I don't think he's using the word Arab in a racial sense here. I think he's using it in a territorial sense. Because obviously the Amalekites and the Amorites and Hittites were not Arabs, okay? They were Canaanites. So, but they
because they came from the east.
Right.
It's sons of the east, if you remember, some of our forefathers sent their sons by the concubines to the east.
Right. Yes, but east of Egypt and east of Palestine are two different things, right? So,
East is a very broad term now,
isn't it? It's a very broad term, yes. So continuing, this tradition tells us of a certain Shaddad, the name means a mighty man, the son of Ad, who made an eruption into Egypt, conquered the, sounds very similar to the name we were talking about, Elid or Melid, conquered the country and extended his victorious campaign as far as the Straits of Gibraltar. Wow. Big territory. He and his descendants, the founders of the Amalekite dynasty, are said to have maintained themselves more than 200 years in Lower Egypt, where they made the town of Avaris their royal residence. And by Lower Egypt is meant lower to by sea level and closer to Mediterranean, not lower, not south.
Shaddad in the Arabic is very much akin, if he was a mighty something runner, very akin to Shaddai in Hebrew, the mighty one.
Right, right.
So and that's why in the Gesenius lexicon they give the Arabic and the Ethiopic. I mean, that's the best lexicon out there, straight up.
Okay. Yeah. Now, it's also reminiscent of the mighty men, you know, the fallen angels and their progeny, the mighty men, which again brings us back to...
That's Gibborim. Those are the mighty men, the Gibborim.
Okay, so
the to be mighty.
yes. All right, so the angels of destruction, fallen angels of destruction, is the term shepherd kings found anywhere in the Bible? At first glance, no, but the examination of an unusual phrase in Psalm 78 provides us with an interesting discovery. The children of Israel left Egypt a few weeks or perhaps only days before the invasion. Now, that's according to their timeline. They could not avoid meeting those Hyksos coming up from Arabia. So according to Comparé's timeline, these are really Amalekites and not Hyksos. And the proper timeline is between Joseph and Moses. Right? Okay. But here's Psalm 78. When he, God, worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines and with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to the very lightning, fiery lightning. He cast on them a fierceness of his anger, etc., etc. All of this is very, well, go ahead, your comment.
I just read that today about these plagues.
Oh, okay.
That was part of that, and the chapter 10. So
Right. Yeah. You're talking about gnats. Like there's my
yes, gnat
there's
swarm. They mistranslated that, but if you look it up, it's gnat swarm. And I
Okay.
told them about how gnats will even drive a grizzly bear crazy up in Alaska.
Ah,
They are
right.
merciless. They
Yeah,
are,
buzz about your eyes.
and
Yeah.
they're so small you can't swat them. And they get in that little corner of your eye and they burn,
Yeah, right.
and
Right.
get up your
And
nose and your
yeah, I was
ear.
just gonna say you breathe them. You breathe them in too. Yeah, they're nasty.
And
Yeah.
you
Yeah, right. Exactly. You choke to death on gnats. If there's sufficient in the atmosphere, right?
That sounds pretty nasty to me.
Yeah, right. One demerit, Pastor Steve. One demerit. But he says that these are like evil angels, angels of destruction, which they're descendants of the fallen angels. What more can you say? That's what they are,
Well, yeah,
right?
the Nephilim comes from the word nafal, to fall. And that's where all of that comes from.
Yes, right.
They were fallen ones.
Yes, okay. So, sending of evil angels, some versions of the Bible, angels of destruction, is presumably Mishlakat Malakei Royim. The only difference in spelling is one silent letter, Aleph, in the first case. It would thus seem that the second reading is the original. What's he trying to say here? Mishkalat Malakei Royim. Presumably. Mishlakat, sorry. If the spelling.
Mishpachat would be it could be Mishpachan, the temple of the Malakai would be the kings of and the Royim means to feed, pasture, or shepherd.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it sounds to me like what he's saying here is the only thing missing from Malachi is the A, Malachi Roim. Okay. So that, and we know that we tend to drop.
There, Amaleki. I have to look up.
Right.
Let me look up and see what
Well, while you're
the.
looking that up, I was just about to say that we drop vowels, especially at the beginning of words, like Isaac, Saka. We drop the I, and we're now Saxons, right?
Jackson's,
Right?
yes.
So it's very common for people to drop the initial vowel when a word begins with a vowel. And so you can see Amalek and Malakai Roim. You can see it right there. He continues, the first reading is not only unusual Hebrew, but it is also contrary to the grammatical structure of the language. If Roim, evil, plural, were used as an adjective here, the preceding word could not take a shortened form. Ruim must therefore be a noun. But if Ruim were a noun, it would be in the singular and not the plural. And finally, the correct plural of evil is not Ruim, but Reoth. Evil angels in correct Hebrew would be Malakim Ruim, angels of evils. Malakei Reoth, not only the sense but the grammatical form as well, speaks for the reading invasion of king shepherds. When the editor or copyist of the sentence could not find sense in king shepherds, he changed the words to evil angels without sufficient grammatical change. Your comment?
Well, I'm looking at the root for Amalek. It's a foreign origin.
Okay.
Which means it's not Hebrew.
It's not a Hebrew word.
It means a laborer or sorrowful. Yeah. It's of a Syriac root. Okay.
It is
an Oriental word. It is not of Hebrew.
And that's what Velikovsky is actually saying here. It's not typical Hebrew.
It is a derivative of the foreign tongue, probably one of the Eastern dialects, because it and none of the dictionaries, not even Gesenius, gives it a meaning.
Okay. All right. So it's a foreign word.
It is of a foreign root, which is not known.
Okay.
Even today, we don't know what it means.
But from everything that we've been discussing, it suggests that whatever language these fallen angels spoke, it comes from them. Right?
Yes, and maybe some of the tongues that emanated out of Babel, which was in the East.
Okay.
All different tongues when he scattered them. And we don't have a record of all those tongues. What we don't know today far outweighs what we do know today. And that's why I say in my scripture that if we get new scrolls, if the Jews allow us to see them, and we get new interpretations, I would list that and give further information. Because this will be an ongoing work for the rest of my life. I'm not just going to say, here it is, this is the final word. No. We have to keep studying to show ourselves approved. And if I get new information that would change anything I put in any of my writings of the scripture,
right,
I don't want to hide it. It's not about me. It's about Yahweh's word.
Okay.
We
only have 10 minutes left. So I think although Velikovsky is correct linguistically and he's got, some of these things right, obviously his timing is wrong. What happened to the Amalekites after the Israelites came out of Egypt and confronted them? Was this a battle to the death?
This is Exodus chapter 17. This is from my scriptures that
okay.
I have interpreted.
Your translation. Okay.
Okay. Chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and said Moshe to Yahshua, choose us men and go forth, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Elohim in my hand. Verse 10, so did Yahshua as had said Moshe to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moshe, Aharon, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to be, when Moshe held up his hand, prevailed Israel, and when he let down his hand, prevailed Amalek.
Yes.
Verse 12, but the hands of Moshe were heavy, he was holding that rod.
Right.
And they took they a stone and put it under him, and sat he on it, and Aharon and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until going down of the sun. Verse 13, and overwhelmed Yahshua, Amalek, and his people with the edge of the sword.
Okay.
And Yahweh said to Moshe, write this for a record in a scroll and place it in the ears of Yahshua, because I will wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sky. And built Moshe an altar and called it the name of it Yahweh Nisi.
Hmm.
For he said, because has sworn Yah, I will war Yahweh with Amalek from generation to generation.
Okay.
There's still some of them left.
Yes, you're right. A few.
It's almost a total destruction.
Right. Nearly total. Yeah.
If we did not drive out all the Canaanites.
That's right.
And kill
right.
them as we were commanded, and they are a thorn in our side and pricks in our eyes today.
All right. From this description, it doesn't sound like the Amalekites had any leadership left by which to invade Egypt. Okay, it sounds to me like they took a pretty stinging, nearly total defeat.
And killed an awful lot of them, and they fled. But
yes.
The question stands, where did they flee
to? Right. Okay, but I think you're correct, and Camperea is correct, in not assigning to these Amalekites that just were defeated militarily by the Israelites to having the strength to overtake Egypt and therefore become the Hyksos, right?
Oh, they the conquering was before the Exodus.
Right, before. Okay, so Velikovsky's timing is off, but his linguistic work here seems to be right on the money.
Yes, he's got pros and cons in the entire article. It's an interesting article, and I recommend that people read it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it does give some, and even here you can see the linguistic analysis of a lot of these words comes into play, and we can tell that there's a lot of fallen angel tribes among the Amorites and among the Hyksos, which is what we would expect when we're talking about Jews.
Well, they've all mixed in.
Yeah.
Like I keep saying, it's a big racial soup. It's a stew of all these cursed peoples.
Yes, yes. Now, it's interesting that we in Israel Identity, and I haven't really seen it in any other denomination, that when a lot of our congregations get together, we raise our hands up to Yahweh, just as Moses did here in the...
Holy hands.
Yes.
And that's in the New Testament as well.
Okay, so holding our hands up. Yes, holding our hands up just as Moses did in the defeat of the Amalekites. Brother, we've got to start doing this again.
Yes.
And this will be a symbol of our defeat of the Jews.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Amen.
Praise be to Yahweh.
Yes, because that's what Moses did. And when he no longer had the strength to hold his arms up, Aaron, and who was it? Who was the other guy? Was it Joshua?
Kur.
Okay, because Joshua was out in the field making war against the Amalekites.
Right.
So
that brotherhood helping brotherhood there. Israel helping Israel. You hear that? Quit fighting among ourselves out there, brothers and sisters. We need to band together as one race of people. We are Israel. The others are not. Black and white.
Yes.
Plain and simple. No shades of gray.
Right. Now, what is the, because we only have like 5 minutes left. What is the, if you know, the Egyptian word for the Hebrews? You have any idea what?
They called them Ibrim. They called
Ibrim.
Them by their name. The Ibrim. Ibri comes from Eber, and they are the Hebrews.
Okay.
Eber.
Eber, not a bear, not a comma.
E-B-E-R. Yes.
E-B-E-R, right.
Eber, which was the forefather of the Ibri.
Okay.
I-B-R-I-Y.
All right.
It means Hebrew, and the Ibrim is plural of that, the Hebrews.
Okay. So if the Egyptians understood that the Ibrim were the Hebrews, they would not have gotten them mixed up with some completely different people, namely the Hyksos kings.
They all lived in the land of Goshen, and they moved them out of the land of Goshen and got them away from their farmlands and their flocks.
Right.
And put them to work building cities.
Right. And they would have known that the Hebrews were farmers, right?
Yes.
Not shepherd kings. They were farmer kings, right?
They had livestock, but okay. They grew magnificent crops. They fed all right. of Mitzrayim out of the yes. land of Goshen.
Yes.
They were the main farmers.
So even linguistically, it's not likely that the Egyptians would have mistaken the Hyksos for the Hebrews. So
no,
I think we
no, yeah. no. They were different in appearance.
Right.
And they had the schnoz and all the rest of it.
By the way, the Jews admit in their encyclopedias that they were descended from the Hittites. In several
sure.
Jewish encyclopedias, they admit this. So if we're talking, these Hyksos were, in fact, more than likely Hittites and Amorites, you know, some form of what we would today call a Canaanite, who invaded, but primarily Hittites. Primarily Hittites.
They were mixed blood.
Oh, yes,
they
absolutely.
Anything. They would, yeah. like the Jews today, aren't pure blood anything.
Right, and they're non-farmers, unlike the Hebrews. Yes, okay. So, and real quickly, now we talked about this name Agag, because the Amalekites were at that time the first of the nations that they were very powerful, and the highest degree of power was expressed by a comparison with the power of this nation. In 1 Samuel 15:7, we find further mention of a king Agag, and making me gag, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites. Now, remember we did our study on Esther?
Yeah, Shaul.
Okay.
Shaul didn't kill him. And he
right.
Samuel,
right.
Samuel hacked him to death with a sword. He says, as you have bereaved all these others, the other mothers of the people you've murdered, I will bereave your mother. And he just chopped him up, man.
Uh-huh, right. But because Saul,
wimpy to do it.
But because Saul allowed Agag to live, his descendant in the book of Esther, who was not Mordecai. What was his name?
Haman was the Agag.
Haman. Haman was an Amalekite, folks.
Yes,
that's what he was. A descendant of the Amalekites.
They called him an Agagi.
Agagi, there you go.
Descendants that they didn't kill from Agag.
Yeah.
They missed some of them. They
right.
never. Saul did a miserable job. That's why the kingdom was ripped from him and given to Dawid.
That's right. Yeah, he kept some of the gold that he wanted the gold, and Yahweh said, I don't want you to keep this gold. I want you to give it away or sell it to other. But he kept it anyway. So Saul made a lot of mistakes, and the worst appears to be that he left King Agag alive.
And he had sheep and livestock, and Shemuel said, what is this bleating of sheep and the lowing of cattle? Oh, we kept the best of the...
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, that reminds me of what Cain did.
Yeah.
Saul made a horrible mistake there, kept keeping the best for himself. All right. I think we at least cleared up the issue that the Hyksos could not have been Hebrews or Israelites. They were most likely Hittites, and as all of the arguments here...
They were a derivative of that branch, yes.
Yes, a derivative. All right, Pastor Steve, we're out of time. Hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight.
And Shalom Aleichem to all of you.
Shalom. See you next time. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Bye-bye.